What's up, fam? We are back with another One Piece Manga Bros podcast, and we did it. We finally made it to Water 7, baby.
Woo!
Water 7. We got the volumes here. We're ready to go. I'm with my co-hosts.
Hi, I'm Sean, or Boom.
That's his name.
Whatever you prefer.
Hi, I'm Eric, and we made it to Water 7.
Hi.
Okay, I'm excited. There's water everywhere.
There is. I'm rough. Now, you know, for those who don't know, with the longer arcs, we do generally do about a half an arc per. So this episode of the Manga Bros will be covering chapters 322 of Water 7 up until 346, I believe. Let me just double check.
Yeah, that's
346, the end of volume 36. And holy crap, boys.
Wow. This was so much faster than our last arc.
It was faster, but holy crap, man. I was excited going into Water 7. You know what I mean? Like, Water 7 is such an incredible arc, but god damn, did I forget how much happens.
Oh, it's quick. Like, it's insane.
So, I mean
it was quick in the anime as well.
Yeah,
right? Like Water 7's great from the start.
Like 30-something episodes. Like, they actually paced it pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just kind of crazy, like, how everything opens, right? Like, we open up learning about this magical sea train that is, like, almost unheard of in this world, right?
Right.
And it's like, yeah, no, that frog, he just tries to headbutt the bitch. He just,
Yokozuna, baby.
Yeah, I don't. Mm-hmm. He's strong. Don't worry. Everything's fine.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it ain't no thing. And, you know, we kind of start to get the mystery, and, like, it opens up with us seeing how strong they are. Like, seeing these top people, or the shipmates, taking down, what, a 36 million berry captain?
I
don't even know if it was a mistake or not. Like,
I won't
pay. This is why you pay your bill.
I think it was a mistake.
Wait.
What? Looking at it? No, it wasn't. I don't know. Like, so, like, they obviously started fighting the pirates, right? Like, Paulie, like, gets annoyed at the guy. But, like, it's just a random worker that's holding the wood.
Yeah. I, and that's the thing, too. Like, it was a random guy that, like, knocked him out. And it just kind of shows, like, how everybody else, like, from the beginning was just beastly.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you get that crazy Mercury panel, man, right, where it shows the Galileo company of just all of them standing there, and it just, like, they look like a pirate crew. I mean,
it's
pretty
an album
much
cover.
Yeah, it is. It does look like an album cover. It really, really does.
I mean, just seeing the support that they have from the city, though, is interesting as well. Like the city is, like, so proud of Galileo, you know?
That and like, Iceberg, like, how much they love him, and, like, it means a ton to them. We also had the little, like, Gadatsu thing that continued. I love that he went to Alabasta. Like, I'm so happy that we're at the point now where these side stories we all never saw, right? Because, like, they animated those for a while in the anime, and I think it stopped, like, last arc. So now we're finally like, oh, yo, we're actually seeing stories we haven't seen. And I kind of expected it, but I guess I didn't. Like, it's been a fun experience going through the manga not knowing, or like, you know, with knowing what the, you know, seeing it with the anime, because I feel like it gives us a different insight. I feel like we have hindsight to a lot of things, and we're picking up on things that we maybe didn't before, and I'm getting newfound respect for arcs that maybe I liked before but didn't like as much or whatever. And combining that with, like, the random little bits and pieces that I didn't know that I feel like just really flesh out the world is so
nice.
Well,
I mean, like anything else, right? Like, you go to the book version, there's always going to be details that were left out or kind of, like, strung along a little too much, just, you know, because One Piece, we know, is famous for just adding those few extra minutes worth of content to really fill out the episode. And so, like, yeah, once again, like, it, you know, from the get-go, where it's like you're immediately introduced to the sea train because it almost demolishes the Mary, which still continues, like, the whole, like, theme of, like,
the Mary
just getting destroyed,
shit, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's why we go to Water 7, right? Like, that's, we got to get the Mary fixed, so.
And,
but yeah,
the treasure, like, seeing, it's so weird seeing the Straw Hats, like, actually have money. You know what I mean? Like, they're usually so broke.
And they don't, they don't know how to handle it, too. I think that's the most interesting thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it's just they don't know how to properly
They don't walk around with 100 million berries. Like,
well, it goes to show too. Like, Nami knows how to handle the money, and like in a weird way, she is the captain. Like, she just lets Luffy kind of, you know,
keep it.
It's like you're gonna be king of the pirates, but like whoever tells the king what to do, that's probably what Nami's gonna be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but it's also one of those things. What I enjoyed about it is the reason they were able to secure that 300 million. Is that this is like the first time they've ever used Luffy's notoriety as like a selling point in their favor, right? Like, Nami any did. Other time. Yeah, exactly. Like, she goes in there, she's like, you see that guy? Like,
he's worth 100 million.
Ass.
Don't even start. Yeah,
like, you know, his bounty's insane. Like, you don't want him tearing this place up. And dude was like, okay, I'll quit screwing you over because like the, you know, like this man's for real. So I don't know. I think that was like the first time where they were finally able to use like them being infamous to their advantage, as opposed to like being a reason to be chased or
piratey, right?
Trying to get gunned
like,
down.
The last arc, not Long Ring, you know, but like the Skypiea, you know, we had a long discussion about how it felt very piratey. It felt like it was just different, right? Compared to the other arcs. There was treasure, they ran away. Like, it just had a very piratey feel. And you're right, now it's like, yar, like, let's use the power, like, let's flex. Like, and I feel like it's kind of setting that moment of Luffy's strong, but we're finally like, all right, you know, maybe we're getting somewhere where these people might give you a run for their money, right? Like, these guys aren't even pirates. They're just shipmakers, and they clap in pirates' booty cheeks left and right.
Yeah.
And, like, the town isn't even faced by a lot of the pirates either.
Nope,
like,
because they know they're protected, right?
To me, that's one of the most interesting things about it, that using his bounty as a negotiating chip in a city that's already very familiar and not scared of pirates.
Mm-hmm.
To use that as like a power chip and a negotiating chip was actually like a really good job and like on showcasing like, hey, the 100 million bounty is a lot.
Yeah, it is.
Well, it's like a twofold thing. I think they realize Galley Law will protect the town for the most part because, you know, they're the shipwrights, but also the muscle. But it's also like, since we're in the Grand Line, like, pirates are just a known quantity, right?
Yeah,
like,
they are just there.
You're not going to go anywhere where there's probably not pirates unless it's like a military base.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there has to be like this kind of, I guess, homeostasis to where it's like, even when they come in, as long as they like behave themselves, like, you know, they're just part of the economy at this point. Yep. So if you kick them out, you're going to be losing a lot of money because they're just as much customers as anyone else. Cause well, we all trying to get to Raftel in the end.
Yeah. So. We also have
can we talk about Gonbei real quick?
Who?
Gonbei.
Okay.
The Chimney's little rabbit that acts like a can we discuss that real quick? How do you train an animal to do that? Because that's a rabbit.
One Piece, man.
We have a giant frog who headbutts a moving train. I mean,
we got a reindeer who's a doctor.
I definitely was not wondering how the rabbit was trained. Maybe it's just me.
I appreciate Gonbei, okay? All right. He cracks me up.
That's
in the anime, and it's not even in this arc. Chimney and Gonbei are absolute heroes. But,
yeah,
I mean,
they really are, dude.
We'll be getting into that in another episode. So we shall appreciate them later.
We also have like a big bomb drop, right? Like Robin shows up, Robin goes shopping with Chopper. Dripped out, like, still to this day, I think one of my favorite Robin outfits. Like, she just looks good in that outfit. Like, it
that
just fits
strong
her.
World.
Yep. And you know, the random person that just kind of like, I'm with CP9, and then you just see Robin's face.
Yes.
Just sick. And it's like, it's one of those moments where like, all right, we just heard about, you know, CP9. We learned that they're a potential government thing. All right, now we know they're real, more than likely, right? And on top of that, Robin's now having the same response as she did when Alkaji showed up. Ooh. Things are looking good.
She literally got one arc to kind of breathe and enjoy living, like, I guess, quote unquote, a normal life, even though, you know, that normal life was the
getting
adventure
beat
of
by
Skypiea.
An elf. Yeah.
Yeah, you know. So it's one of those things that, like, out of the frying pan into the fire, man. Like, I just kind of felt bad because even like when watching the anime, it was like one of those things to where it's like, this is like the newest crew member and they're immediately stripped away to like somewhere else. It kind of gave that feel where it's like, okay, like maybe everyone on the crew isn't like impervious to the outside world, right?
Yeah.
Like, maybe it is possible that they may come and go and things may happen to them.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just Robin, like, right? Almost everything starts kind of going wrong. You know what I mean? Obviously, we're going to get into that later. But it's such a weird thing going from the arc opens with such wonder, you know?
Yeah.
These strong people. Oh, my God. Like, and you start questioning, like, okay, Carpenter. We're here for a Carpenter, right? Which one of these strong bitches gonna join? Like, what is going on? And, like, seeing, you know, Kaku's introduction of him just jumping over the city is crazy.
That panel is gnarly.
So good.
I mean, it's also one of those things that I keep, of course, going back to the anime. It's like when I first, like, I thought, like, Kaku was going, might be, like, the Carpenter we pick up.
Yeah.
To be a straw hat, like it for some, I so guess because we'll it kind of looked like
round
Usopp, like,
nose and a square. Yeah.
Like, two homies, you know what I mean?
Bro, it looked like his nose looks like a cheap hot dog. So it's like I was like, you know, sure, why not? Like this dude, absolutely, like he looks like he can kick ass. He can like basically freaking fly.
The ways after too, when Kaku gets to the boat. And he's like looking at the ship, and Zoro's like,
yeah.
Wait a minute, that's not Usopp. And the real homie, Tyrannosaurus.
Yes.
Iceberg's little pet.
And Hattori, the Lucci's bird.
Yes. Lucci, very creepy. Like, just a very creepy dude. Even from the second he's introduced, like, the whole the bird talks to him isn't creepy, but, like, he just looks mad all the time.
I feel like he looks like Cobra from Alabasta, and it drives me nuts.
Yes. Oh, my God. He does.
Yes.
He looks like a younger Cobra.
And I've mentioned it I don't know how many times, and, like, no one ever says whether they agree with me or not.
I do agree with you. I've just never thought about it.
Drives me crazy. Because, like, everything in One Piece is so... Yeah, everything in One Piece is so connected. I'm like, they... Gotta be cousins.
We're gonna find
out
he's the long lost brother of Cobra.
Yeah, like his name's Lucci Nefertiti.
Yeah.
But it's I think that's like the thing out the gate, right? Where Water 7 creates like this huge choice, and it's like choice of adventure, choice of crew, like whether we're going to get a new crewman or not. And you know, then there's the whole thing of they are smoking the boat over and they're telling them, like, you know, hey, bro, that boat's done. Yeah. Like that the Mary is finished. Like, it's more, you know, I know you guys know the philosophical debate of if you change all the parts of the axe, is it the same axe, right? And it's the same thing with the Mary, right? Like, if you completely replace the Mary, like,
it's not the same.
Is it or is it not still the same, right? Like, you can put the figurehead on the front, but, like, does that make it the same boat? Like, or if you put the cell on, you know, it's that whole debate. So
I think minor repairs, it's fine, but, like, in a large repair like that, where it's like you're having to rip apart, like, the core of something, like the foundation, like it's almost like building a house, right?
But
so like if your foundation is scuffed on your house and you have to redo your foundation on your house, will your house still feel the same?
Yeah.
Even though the upstairs is still the same, the foundation is different.
A human is basically the same too, right? Like, you think about our things. Your arm breaks, it heals. Your leg breaks,
now we get to a fun conversation.
You know, you break other things, it heals. You fuck up your spine.
It's the keel.
I mean, you're kind of fucked, right? Yeah. Like, even if you do heal, you're not going to heal. You're not going to be the same person.
It's not going to be the same afterwards.
You know? No. So it's like, you know, we have this such a heavy bomb drop of like, oh, the Mary is screwed. Like, sorry, it's screwed. All right, well, we need a carpenter. All right, here's all of these crazy carpenters. This man's jumping up.
Take your pick.
You know, what's his name? I'm drawing up. Paulie drops in and yeets the goddamn... Yeah. Frankie family like they're nothing. Then him and Lucci start fighting, and Lucci like lands on the ground and digs his fingertips into the concrete. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's all these just flex. They're all so strong.
And I think that's like a good like storytelling device where it's like, once again, it goes down to like the choice, right? Like all of a sudden, like we're seeing all these guys could possibly hold their own if they join the crew. And so it creates like all these like deviations of like, okay, well, now we want to get to know every single one of these guys, mm-hmm. because any one of these guys could possibly be part of the Straw Hats now. So,
yeah,
like, you know, it's a job interview, yeah. right? Like, at this point, mm-hmm. like, we want to know everything about them. I will say, like,
and Khalifa, part of that, I almost forgot about her moment, too.
Oh, yeah. Sexual harassment.
When she kicked the crap out of Luffy. Because they, yes. like, insulted yeah. him. So, like, even the secretary, right, is on, like, a different level in comparison yeah. to, like, the other people.
They hit different.
Yes.
But part of that whole thing is, I feel like it was, like, a break in, I don't want to say it's necessarily a facade with Zoro, because Zoro is Zoro. He mm-hmm. never really puts on airs or tries to change who he is. But that's, like, after he has that conversation with Kaku,
mm-hmm.
and Kaku goes back. He, like, literally looks at the figurehead of Mary, and he was like, are you done, Sail? Like he's actually having, you know, a conversation before, like, you
there
know,
was
Mary.
So much that happened this episode,
Mary,
with that too.
Dude, yeah. And gosh. Mary, you know, you would think to him that Mary was just, like, a means of conveyance, but even, like, it's giving, like
each, that in a way, weirdly yeah, enough, right?
Yeah, I mean, he is the backbone, I guess, right? Like, he is the one that, you know, has to take it logically because he mm-hmm. knows everybody else is going to be emotional, right? Mm-hmm. That's why I always like him, Luffy and Sanji, even though they're the big three, like I compare it to, once again, Star Trek, sorry y'all, and original Star Trek, because you have Spock, Kirk, and Bones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Spock all logic, Bones all emotion, Kirk the mix.
I don't even know
who
Bones is
the doctor.
There you go.
And so and so it's kind of like that, right? Like Luffy's the whole emotion, like Zoro is more or less logical, and Sanji is honestly the kind of mix between the two, yeah. right? And so it,
with a little purpose,
even him, Ryan. Yeah. Well, obviously, it, everybody, right? But no, it. So I don't know. I thought that was like a nice little moment they threw in, to where like even he was like, "Yo, are we actually done with this thing right now? Like, I don't know if I'm ready to say goodbye." And you know, they did a really good job of always like framing the figure, like. I don't know what the front of the ship's called. I'm sorry. I'm just calling it a figurehead.
Oh, no. I mean, there was multiple moments. Yeah. Like, even when the, you know, we'll get to it later, but when the Akala Laguna shows up and, like, the waves crash on the Mary, like, there's multiple panels where it looks like the Mary is crying.
Yeah, that's yeah. when Luffy and Usopp are arguing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That,
so it's
that
like
was
the
like...
symbolism in the arc yeah. is insane. So, yeah. I mean, you know, at this point, you know, we're what? A volume into the, you know, into the arc, and so far we have
yeah that was literally the end of the first watch.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. we're introduced to what, four like high level yeah. strong as hell pirate right. level carpenters, right? Yeah, we have foreman. the weird town mayor who just seems a little odd, but you know, you always know, like, all right, he must be strong too, right? Like, thinking about
yeah
it.
His almost secretary, every mayor we've met has been kind of odd.
Yeah,
though.
Like they're all odd. They're very there. We learn about CP9. We start to see that the world government, although we already kind of knew this, is a bit more scummy than we originally anticipated. Right, Corgi kind of showing up and, you know, just kind of being the typical world government pig. Like,
yeah,
proving the point. They suck. And then immediately after seeing these big moments, oh shit. The money's gone, and Usopp is left battered in the fucking streets.
Bro.
Like, destroyed. That panel is so hard to see, dude.
He got his ass kicked. Mm-hmm. Like, it's they're
they
like,
did not play.
No.
It's so hard, dude.
I mean, 200 million berries, right? Like,
what's funny is we faced, like, a almost literal god.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like Usopp
took less of a beating.
Yeah, less of a beating here. Like, he got knocked out by Enel.
I mean,
this was
like a street thug. Like, we're trying to yeah. kill you. Like, we just stole 200 million berries of mm-hmm. yours. Like, I think it also probably didn't help that I think they probably were like, all right, this guy is a member of the Straw Hat Pirates. He's clearly got to be strong. Like, we really need to make sure we take him down. And I think, you know, when you go ask somebody that you're expecting to be that level, and it turns out that they're not, I can definitely yeah. see how, yo, they're going to be real fucked up. Because you're not going to pull those first few punches.
I do appreciate, again, that he hit a lot of story beats out of the park on this. Because, like, the person to find him was Nami.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Nami's the one he always has the relationship with, because Nami's the other normal person
mm-hmm.
on the boat, right? Like, yeah, you know, everybody else bond. Either... is either devil fruit or just insanely strong.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that it was like the other person that could empathize with like what just happened to them is the one to find them. And like the fact that he was like able to bear his soul of like, you know, this is the beginning of like him being like, yo, I don't know if I can keep up with these dudes. Cause like, I just got my ass beat by like a bunch of normal guys in a town. And these guys are only going to keep getting stronger.
And,
like,
and the crazy thing
I don't
is
know
too,
where I go from here.
And it's kind of messed up, right? Because up until this point, right, we know the Frankie family did this to him. And again, going back to the symbolism of it all, well, what has happened prior to this? Zoro beat the absolute ever-loving shit out of the Frankie family. And so did Pauly. So, like, these Frankie family people we have already seen are kind of like, they're pushovers, right? They're not strong.
Yeah.
And to see, like, Usopp be that battered by, like, these knockoff people, like, the weakest people we've seen in the arc so far, it's hard. Like, it's a hard pill to swallow, and I think that that was what made it so hard for Usopp is I think he knew that, you know? Like, and I think he was aware, like, these aren't even super strong guys, and I couldn't handle it.
Well, I mean, yeah, and he even keeps saying, like, I can't face the others, I can't face the others. Mm-hmm. Like,
Usopp's very self-aware of what's going on, like the situation. Yeah. Like,
well, he isn't, right?
I want to say when I first watched this, I assumed like he was just kind of like he took his lumps and then he moved on, blah blah. But like now reading through it, it's very apparent that he is very self-aware of him versus the crew and like where everyone's levels are.
Yep,
you know.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go. This is the next.
So what I was going to say, like, that leads, like, it's funny that he's so self-aware in that regard, though, but it leads to so much projection and, like, what becomes the major conflict of the arc, right? So I don't know, it's kind of funny in that regard to where it's, like, he understands, but then doesn't know where to, like, actually channel, like, that emotion, right? And I do like before you get to your next point, like, and this may kind of get us there. I'm not really sure. Like, they drop this news and it's a great panel and I forgot to add it to my notes, but like Sanji's like, but the Mary looks the same as always. And it's like a zoom out of the Mary.
And it's all fucked up.
And it's got like the metal collar around like the sheep's head's neck.
I think the stem is like broken.
The mast or whatever and you know, the side is all boarded up and shit. And so it's like, it looks the same as always. And it's like, bro,
that's a bad sign though, right? Like if this is what you think it looks like normal, maybe that's the problem. Like,
well, I think that just shows like how unaware like people who aren't carpenters are, aren't like fixing the ship, are of the ship. They're like, oh well, it's still the same on the inside. It doesn't bother me. And it's like, well, if you look at the outside where it's actually been repaired, you're gonna see, you know,
damage. It's like when the check engine light comes on. It's like, but the car still works. Like,
yeah. The radio still turns on. My windshield wiper still moves. What do you mean?
Right. It turns over.
And so immediately after this, I just want to talk about this because, we're way farther ahead, right? We've discussed this is our first time reading the manga, but we've made our way through the anime and we wanted to go through and see the original source material. And that's kind of what we do on this show. But holy crap, with hindsight, these moments, right? I'm going to show the panels on screen, like, might be some of the coldest moments in the entire 2.0, show.
Baby. The walk 2.0. Yeah,
So not even just the walk, right? So we get the Arlong walk essentially again, right?
Yeah.
It immediately, that's the end of the chapter. The immediate next page, start of the chapter, is this big giant coming out of the house and them obliterating that dude and throwing him through a wall, right?
Yeah.
Then all the Straw Hats go on an absolute rampage and beat the shit out of them. But more specifically, right at the end of the fight when they're kind of like talking a little bit of shit and like everybody's demolishing people, including Chopper, literally this, get ready to have every bone in your body's broken. Like,
that's the first time where it actually felt like a real threat. Like, he was actually serious when he said that.
Luffy doesn't do that, right? Like, even during threat, like, well, I'll kick your butt, I'll kick your ass, I'm going to break every bone in your body. Like, it's like, oh, damn.
You're going to wish for death, motherfucker.
But even Chopper, right? Chopper didn't hesitate either. Chopper's generally been the scaredy boy, and we know he's powerful. We know he has strength, but he generally is scared and did not flinch, right? Like, Chopper went in right with them, fucked them up air, and it was just, it was exciting. It was fun to see it because it's like, you know, them redeeming their friend, but dude, it was brutal to read through. Like, that it felt different. Like, it felt like a different Straw Hat crew. Like,
Once again, it's like that notoriety. It's the infamousness that Nami was kind of referring back to. Like, there's a reason why this dude actually has, what is it? At 100 this point, 100 million?
Yeah.
It's 100 million. Yeah. So, you know, it's we've seen him take down a god. We've literally seen him run up a beanstalk with, like, what has to be a bajillion pound gold orb on his arm. Like, this dude, he chooses not to kill people.
Oh, I know.
And we're lucky he doesn't accidentally do it.
And then they destroyed the fucking house, too. Like, they were like, no, we ain't just beating your ass. We're destroying your hideout. Like, they're not playing. And this made me wonder. I cannot imagine what would happen. Like, I kind of can. But I could not imagine what would happen if one of the Straw Hats died.
Oh,
I cannot imagine what would happen. That would not just be a Luffy beating your ass. Like, I think that might be, like, if that ever were to happen, I think that might be the first time the Straw Hats would legitimately kill a person.
It would, I mean, in, you know, in the anime, Nami already killed someone on the way to the Grand Line, but we don't have to talk about that. Yeah, I genuinely think, like, I genuinely think a Straw Hat can't die until he, like gets to where he is king of the pirates one day, if that does happen. Like, you know, it might be like the journey was the point. We still don't know. But because I think that would, like, irrevocably, like, change, like, what this story is to a point. Like, you don't come back from that. Like,
no.
Like,
you lose a crewmate.
Him breaking every bone in their body, destroying their house, that shows how much he cares about Usopp and cares about his crew.
Yeah.
If one of them died and they were murdered, like, bro, like, this that story is going to be TV mature real quick.
True. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like the Ace thing, right? Like, Ace hunting down Blackbeard.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yo, maybe don't. He's like, oh, shut the fuck up. He's like, you don't kill my family. You know? And I feel like that's kind of what it comes down to, is like, nah, that is a line we don't cross.
Yeah.
And it's so hard because I feel like it transitions immediately from this, right? Of, we just beat their ass. No, we didn't get the money back. And then you have that argument with Usopp and Luffy. And it feels like this is the arc where everything kind of is on the line. And this is the closest we've seen to the Straw Hats breaking up, right? Like, at this point, we had the moment with Aokiji. All right, they're already sowing doubt about Robin. Okay, we know that Robin is now randomly gone. Where's Robin? Something about CP9. She's ditching them. Like, then you have the thing with Usopp and Luffy. And, like, during the fight, like, Luffy basically going to mention leaving the group and, like, Sanji kicking him in the face. Like, that's the captain. And, you know, all while the entire time, like, Nami, Chopper are horrified, and Zoro is just kind of having to stand there in the background and be like,
yeah,
this is the captain's decision. Like, you need to not guess yourself. Like, if this is what it is, then
that's
this
one
is
of my,
what it is. And it's,
that's one of my favorite lines in, like, the whole story, though, where he was like, if we can't trust you to make, like, a decision on this, like, we're not going to be able to trust you to do anything else, because, like, this dude is straight up, like, you know, In his own, like, it's a very weak mutiny, but it's very much like, you know, I don't want to be a part of this crew anymore. Like, I am challenging you to fisticuffs.
Yeah, well, as much as we get it, right? Like, we understand Usopp's perspective, but, like, it doesn't change that, like, this is disrespectful. Like, you are going against the captain. Like, you're not even listening to what he has to say. Like, you're just immediately jumping to, fuck you, I'll leave the crew. Like, that's serious. Well, like, that's a serious thing to say.
And this is the projection I was talking about earlier. You know, Sione brought up the how
being self-aware
he was. Like, you know, this is, like, now where he's, like, projecting his own self onto the ship, right? Well, the Mary, we love the Mary. Like, even Zoro showed it, right? No one else was there, but that's why he was able to show it.
Yeah.
It's now, like, I am the Mary, and if you're so easily able to get rid of her when she's broken, like, I just got my ass beat by normal guys. Like, at what point are you just going to throw me out as well and replace me?
What's interesting is his reaction was also, to when Luffy told him about the Mary and, like, what they were going to do and this and that, His reaction was the same exact reaction Luffy gave to the shipwrights.
Yep, almost identical, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's so interesting to see them have the same reaction in that moment and then complete polar opposites at that point, because, right.
Well, I think the thing with the polar opposites is that, like, Luffy's already talked to them about it, and at the end of the day, yeah. right, Luffy is the captain.
What Luffy says goes.
Exactly, yeah, and I think that was Luffy's yeah. mentality, is I think this was Luffy kind of stepping up at the crew, right? Like, we just got your back. We just yep. took them down.
Yeah.
I'm not happy about this, but this is what we're doing. It doesn't matter if you like it, Usopp. This is what we're doing because I said we're doing it, right? Like,
yeah.
could Luffy have explained, like, it's not possible.
We already tried to an extent. Yeah.
But, like, it doesn't matter, right? Like, at the end of the day, yes, the Merry's part of the crew. He's your captain. You know? He is in charge. Right, that is a thing, and he doesn't have to explain himself either.
Exactly,
like, he made that, and I think that's the whole thing. Is it's in a way, it's almost like a had Luffy communicated this and be like, hey, we talked to the shipwrights. Mm-hmm. The shipwrights literally said this isn't going to work. Mm-hmm. This is the best yeah. option we have.
And he probably
compared would've. To just taking the captain's approach and just mm-hmm. being like, I'm the captain. Trust me. If you don't trust me, get off the ship.
I think the reason Luffy defaulted to that is because mm-hmm. he started to explain it. And Usopp was still getting riled up and getting mad and getting this. Yeah. And I think that was Luffy's way of being like, I'm the captain.
I think Luffy's also emotional about this too, though.
Oh, he is.
But I actually got lucky and literally just flipped to that panel where Luffy even says, don't think you're the only one taking this hard. Everyone on the ship feels the same way.
Yep. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, he made the decision after, like, destroying Franky's house where he's like, mm-hmm. all right, we need a new ship. Like,
mm-hmm.
like, I feel like, too, that was, like, I think he just, now that I'm actually thinking about it, I think he just wasn't only beating up Franky and them, or Franky's house and his crew.
He was taking out his anger.
Or, yeah.
It was the Merry.
Yeah.
He, being it, upset.
It was
that
his motion, right? Like,
he's
yeah.
powerless to do anything
well, yeah,
to
he
help
was,
the
he
Merry.
He was already upset. And then now on top of that, now his crewmate was just beating
yeah.
up. Like,
which
that's
is why we
lot
see the savagery.
Once.
It yeah. makes sense. Now you say that, it yeah. makes sense for the savagery. On the, yes. that scene,
because like we said, we've never seen
yeah.
that, right? Like
he had that post nut clarity where yeah. he was like, "He's like, yeah, we need your ship."
Yeah.
So it's like,
because it sucked. I mean, like, yeah, and that makes complete sense. And then after that, the whole conversation, it hurts because had the conversation gone differently,
mm-hmm.
it would have worked better. But the problem was Usopp again was projecting. He wasn't thinking about what's best for the crew. He was just like, "Well, this just happened to me. I'm going to keep projecting myself as the Merry."
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it just kept declining at that point.
Usopp made a good point, too, where it's like everybody on that ship has an ambition,
yep.
right? Nami wants to create a map of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Zoro wants to be the best swordsman. Luffy wants to be Pirate King. Sanji wants to see the All Blue.
Yeah.
Like, and Chopper, you know, he be doctoring. You know, Usopp is... Like he even said, I got on board because you guys told me to get on board. I literally don't have the ambition you have. Like he even calls himself Captain Usopp and knows to an extent that is a joke. Like he doesn't mm-hmm. know what he wants to be. He's literally going out to sea to find himself.
He wants
so
to be a brave,
like,
warrior, right? But like, yeah. it's not like it's a goal, I guess. But like, you know, up
yeah,
to him,
I mean,
I don't think he sees himself as target. That, right? Yeah,
yeah.
Especially after getting his ass beat yep. by some yeah. low level people. Also, can we just address, like, the panel to end that chapter of Usopp saying, fight me, and you having Usopp
man.
And Luffy,
dude,
and, like, could you imagine reading this weekly?
Oh,
and that being the
insane.
Moment? Because up this entire volume, right, the last chapter ended with them destroying the Franky house and then being like, it's time to say bye to the Merry. Then the next chapter, like, ends... with like so first chapter ends, you get the walk. The next chapter, they destroyed the house, time to get rid of the Merry. The next yeah. chapter, Usopp leaves the crew and says, fight me. Like just
what was great about that too is like he pulled like the full on parent thing, right? He mm-hmm. didn't he said monkey he actually says
his
full
name.
Name.
Yeah.
He says Monkey yep. D. Luffy, fight me.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so like, you know, like we pulling out the full real name, like all of a sudden, like shit's a little different now, right? Like
mm-hmm.
you know, you want to make it official because he wants to keep the Mary. But like, I go back and it's kind of like an inconsequential throwaway line, but I'm wondering if it is kind of more impactful in the sense of, you know, he tells Usopp, you're not a carpenter, so yeah, you can't fix it. And so literally that was kind of Usopp's one job that he did have on the ship.
Yeah, true.
And mm-hmm. Luffy just told him, that ain't your job. You don't really know how to do that job, even though he's the one that's been doing it, right?
Of, like, it was kind of basically like, you don't have a job. Because right, if you take Usopp out of figuring that out,
yeah,
he at doesn't this point in really this, yeah, have a job. He like, made he, climb he's a part of the crew. He's part of the family. But like, he doesn't have a direct job.
But, and the thing is, like, he's never like introduced himself, I think, to this point, except in filler, as like the sniper.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
anything like that. You know, there was what the daddy filler or whatever, where he had to win that contest. Like, you know, like outside of
he's
that
done small
like,
things, right? He's like emotional support, he helps with things, he patches the boat, he made Nami her climb attack, but it's not like he's not like the weaponsmith, he's not the this, he just helps
he's
when he can. Yeah, he is. He's like the maintenance guy of the crew in a way.
So I mean, I'm wondering now, like I kind of wanted to like go back to that because I'm like, I mean, like he did just kind of throw that in his face where he was like, the one job you kind of considered yourself having, it's not really your job.
Mm-hmm. And then Chopper like breaking down because Usopp was like, we're not on the same crew.
Like Chopper falling, and this is so sad.
When Luffy meets up with Usopp and they have like this panel that I'm showing on screen where they're like looking at each other. Bro, I've gotten chills every time I've opened the panel. Like, I just swiped to this page and instantly got chills again. Like, it's just, it's crazy. And honestly, the craziest part about it is, one, Usopp sticking to the lie, the 8,000 men lie.
Yeah.
Knowing damn well that Luffy is aware. And I think it's a way to motivate him. But I cannot believe how well Usopp did in that fight. And I guess we'll never know, but I still to this day don't know if Luffy was holding back until that final moment. It felt like he was, but I don't know.
I want to say yeah.
Because I know there's that moment with the final punch where he's just like,
yeah, screw it, I got to do this.
Done. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I remember when watching the anime at first, I was like, I genuinely thought, I was like, is he going to let Usopp win? Like, it never occurred to me that Usopp would win on Usopp's account. It was whether Luffy was actually going to let him win.
So that he could have the Mary.
So that he could just have the Mary. Mm-hmm. Like, and feel honor in the sense that he earned the Mary. Because, you know, after the fight, he was like, Mary's yours, dude. Like, just do whatever with it. Like, you know, we have to, as a crew, move on.
Mm-hmm. Damn, actually, you can kind of see where he gets serious now that I think about it. There's that moment where Usopp uses the gas and explodes him, and Luffy's laying on the ground just looking up at the sky.
Is this almost like an example? Like, is them fighting right now almost an example of Luffy looking forward and Usopp staying in the past?
Yeah, probably.
Well, I mean, I think it's Usopp not being able to see his own future, right? Yeah. Like
he doesn't know what it is.
You know, it's like when you're graduating high school, and if you don't really have an idea of what you want to do next, you're just kind of like staring into that abyss a little bit, and trying to figure out, you know. As an 18-year-old kid who I mean, and at this point they are, you know, 16, 17, 18 years old, right? And so they're trying to figure out where they fit into all this. And so like, I think we gloss over their age a lot of the times because
it doesn't
of
feel like
everything they do. But like, you know, to an extent, you got to remember they're still so freaking young in this.
Except for Robin.
Yeah, except for Robin, who's making some hard choices.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think you're right, Boom. Like it's definitely like thinking about their age and everything like this. Yeah, I mean they're trying to find their place in this world, and I mean with this fight, Usopp's literally fighting for the Mary, which is something that the crew has to leave behind.
Yep.
Like no matter what, regardless of who can repair this or that, they have to leave it behind.
Yeah.
And Usopp is just he's grasping onto something like that. He's not.
Well, Luffy says it right after, right? It's like, there goes that moment where Luffy's kind of not really doing anything. And I don't know if it's because he's trying to hold back or because he's like caught off guard by Usopp and like how serious Usopp is taking it. But like the explosion, Luffy kind of starts hitting him a little bit. And there's that moment where Usopp kind of brings out the impact dial.
Oh,
right?
The impact.
Where
yeah.
Luffy gets a hit from himself, and like Luffy doesn't get knocked over, he just sits up and just
he just one to the gut
and takes him down, and then he just do what you want with the Merry. He's like, we're gonna keep sailing forward.
Yeah. So also, I don't want to gloss over because that's actually after this scene, but like the tear.
Yeah, the tears of Merry.
Oh my god, dude.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. Like, I will say, like, once again, Oda's artwork literally got better every.
It did.
I mean, just like, thinking about this, like,
I mean,
this
the
whole
cry,
arc.
The tears, like when Luffy walks away and you just have everybody in the ship crying, like Nami is in tears, Chopper is in tears, even Usopp is on the ground in tears, Luffy is in tears, like they're all just so fucking out.
Yeah.
And it's like, and Zoro, like, yo, he's like, that's the burden of being a captain.
Yeah.
Like, this is what you have to deal with sometimes. And it sucks, but I think it was a massive wake up call to the Straw Hats, like as a whole.
Zoro said therapy, or it just be like that sometimes.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then but I mean, just like think about the Merry in that situation, right? Like Merry has gone through everything at this point in time. Like, no, to me, Merry is a person and part of the crew, right?
Yeah.
And Merry has traversed through so much of what Merry should not have gone through, being the type of ship it is, and we've heard that from the Carpenters, right? And then to finally get to the culmination of the point where, you know, we saw in Skypiea with the little ghost thing, and get to the culmination of, hey, we're going to carry you a little bit further, and finally get here and your captain and your crew start fighting amongst each other.
Right.
You know, like that, to me, that
while another crew member is missing,
but like honestly, the Merry is like the one that like the hurt the most in this, and it's like it's not until you get like the retrospective and looking back on the arc, you're like, holy shit, like that Merry literally is in pieces over here. You got a crew member missing, and you've got two people fighting amongst each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and the thing is, like this whole thing, like the emotions punctuated even more because it actually shows like actual flashbacks that were in the manga as well, of like the good
times. I like
times
the way they handled
the
that.
Yeah, like they could have like just like made some happy like panels where it was like them smiling together and drinking a beer or something, but like it actually showed like, you know, them painting the flat or the sail and things like that, and like Luffy sitting on the figurehead and them having like they did a really good job of like showing how far it's come from like the good times to like where we are now, like you said, where it's like they're literally like one crew member is gone, two are fighting. I mean, Zoro and Sanji started fighting as well, and then you know, Nami was like,
they start blaming one another
out.
Well, because it's Sanji being like, Zoro, if you would have beat them up more, maybe they wouldn't have fucked with us. And then it's Zoro being like, what the fuck did you do? You weren't here. Like, it's like
it's
everybody
but like that's a normal
crew
bickering
fighting.
Though. Yeah. No.
Yes, but in this moment,
true.
You know, like you think about like
everyone
you know
is
what?
Yelling
maybe don't bicker right now. You know what I mean? Like, how about you guys like chill for a second? And it does not stop. Like the crazy thing is, and I was reading it. I generally read digitally, and then like when I need to like go through something, I'll pull it up because it's easier and a bit faster, especially when I'm reading at night, to lay down with a tablet than to try and sit there because then I need light and whatever. But now seeing where the placement is on everything in these volumes, holy crap, it is insane how absolutely just go this arc was. Like,
yes,
it ends with that, right? Usopp leaves the crew. Oh, everything's fucking in shit. Next chapter, iceberg is shot. The Aqua Lagoon is coming, which we don't even know what it is yet. It's just like this impending doom. Frankie arrives, right? And then we get like the tease, like, all right, yo, this man might not be who we thought he was. Who this Speedo-looking motherfucker? You know what I mean?
Yep.
I love Frankie's design, dude. I really do. Like, the whole Ace Ventura thing is just so good.
It's
God,
well, I mean,
that's what it's from? I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, Sione, the amount of, like, media references, like, 90s, 80s media references in One Piece
is
crazy.
I just didn't realize that he was literally Ace Ventura.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay,
it makes way more sense now.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, one thing I like about it too is like they kind of like hide him at first as well, right? Like he's behind that mask, and like it goes to show that he even has like his own like Luffy-esque feelings towards his crew. Like, man shows up and his home's demolished, and like, you know, he's more worried about
thing.
Like, you know, like what happened to my peoples, man? Like,
And it's one of those things, right? Of just like at the end of the day, I know we're all kind of like hating on Frank. Oh my God, I can't believe they did this, but yeah, they stole the money, but the Straw Hats also stole that money. Don't get me wrong. The Straw Hats were not aware that all the Skypean people were trying to give them more gold for free. But like, as far as the Straw Hats were aware, they robbed them. You know.
Yes.
So it's
true.
I mean, you know, and you're right. Like at this point, it's like they beat your guy up, he beat them. You know, and at the end of the day, I mean, who got beat up first? Zoro did beat them up first.
Hey. It's the crypto rug pull, baby. Like, yeah. it's just it's One Piece version, right? Like, welcome to One Piece coin. I don't know. Like, when it came to, like, the idea of money, like, or that money in particular, like, obviously we're on the side of the Straw Hats because, one, we want the Mary to be fixed.
For sure,
two,
yeah.
Like, the Straw Hats are our peoples. And so, like, the idea of someone else stealing that money that they, quote, unquote, you know, earned. Like we said, we know they were going to get gifted that stuff.
Yeah.
But the fact that they think they stole it, like, you know, that does make it stolen money.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, it makes sense. And it does add that layer of like, yeah, you know, the idea of like whose money is kind of fluid at this point, because it's like whoever, you know, it's like when you find a check that says cash on it, all of a sudden that cash is yours. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, ain't nobody's name on that check, but cash.
And it doesn't stop. Like the power stuff, like Frank has shown up, he breathes fire, he reveals he's a cyborg.
That was awesome.
And it was so cool because he basically mimicked Luffy's punch. And I kind of like that in a way. And you brought it up, right? Like they're kind of going through the same shit. And they're kind of like parallels of one another almost, you know? Like in a weird way. I know they're not entirely, but like you combine that with the fact that like the Straw Hats are being blamed for shooting Iceberg, like. We find out about Robin being involved. I mean,
he blames Robin. Yeah. Like, Iceberg's yo, Nico, Robin did this. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time I think we finally get to see her bounty.
Yeah. No.
It's just her. It's
the bounty post. Yeah. I thought we saw the number before. Have we not?
Did we see it?
Did we see the number before?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I thought this was the reveal.
No. I'm pretty sure that we've known. I'm pretty sure they've talked about it a couple times.
To me, it felt like the reveal.
Fair. And then our big baddies that we've seen beating people up show up, and they're like, "Hey, Luffy, we're gonna beat your ass."
Yep.
It's like, oh god. It's like, so now the Frankie man, he a problem. The Galileo company hates them. Usopp's gone. Robin's involved in an assassination attempt potentially. Like, the Aqua Laguna's on the way, and that's just two volumes into the goddamn arc.
Yeah.
Like, we have one more volume, basically, to go through, and, like, this is only a little under the halfway point. Like, next arc is when we're going to finish it, which is crazy.
You know, like, and that's the thing where, when I started reading this, because I was like, yo, Water 7's pretty big. Like, I'm probably going to be able to just, like, gloss over a lot of this and then remember a lot of and to be fair, like, I remembered a lot of Water 7 because, like,
it comes back, you know,
luckily enough
for me,
that's kind of where, like, where my channel started taking off more, especially, like, with One Piece stuff. But it's also, like, you remember, like, yo, like, I can see why, like, Water 7 is a pop-off point, because this entire arc is something.
Basically, like, every chapter is just chaos.
Yeah. It's insane. Because, like, I was left, like, I was like, yo, this is going to be, like, a pretty quick read. And I was like, nope, here's another one where I feel like I'm going to have to, like,
inspecting every
go
panel.
Over every panel, bro. Yep.
This, I spent more time reading these 20-something chapters than I have in almost any other arc. Because I've just, like, bruh.
There's so much.
At the end, the very end, like, leading up to the reveal, I was able to skim it a bit more. But I think that stemmed from the fact that I had been reading for, like, 2 hours. It was, like, 2 a.m. And I, like, very vividly remember that moment. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, every bit and piece where a lot of the stuff in the beginning, weirdly enough, and kind of crazy to think about, I feel like it's overshadowed as the arc continues, which is kind of crazy.
You guys know what? I don't know if I'm the only one that thinks this, but, like, is Water 7 modeled after Venice?
Yes, it is. He even says in the SBS.
All right. I must have missed that. But yeah, because, like, I was, like, sitting there, like, when I first saw it, I was like, wait, what?
That might be in a later SBS in the arc.
Whatever. Yeah, close enough. That's
fine. It's still in the arc. It's not a spoiler. It's in the arc. It's just, like, it's. I don't know if it's in the chapters we cover, but he Fuck it. Yeah, he does say it's after.
I mean, I don't really think that's a spoiler. I mean, like, it's literally
No. It's in the arc. It just may not be in the chapter.
That's so cool. Like that. Yeah. That is so cool that literally he modeled an entire arc after the style of the city itself.
I mean, literally, if you pay it. I mean, he even says in the SBS a lot of times, yeah. But like almost literally everything he refers to something as is in reference to something. Like Skypiea was all like Mesopotamia culture. Yeah. You know, and Long Ring was something. I don't know, an acid trip, like maybe Oda did shrooms, but
I'm actually curious.
This is like the same. Well, I mean, I'm sure there was probably like some sort of pirate game where they probably changed crews and stuff like that, but no, yeah. It's one thing, like starting off with the next, I think we're on the next volume now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like
we
the,
are
the last volume that we're gonna cover. Where it's like, you know, everything's popping off now, like the
fight
people
begins.
Are trying to like get Nami, like the citizens are like trying to take Nami, and like you just see Robin on the building top just like watching it, kind of emotionless, and you're just it leaves you with that feeling like if we didn't know what already happened, like yeah it's
I passed the volume with her, but I didn't know she was on the mountain. I thought it was like
she was like on top of like one of the buildings or whatever, just kind of like looking down.
Oh yeah, you're right, holy crap.
Yeah, and like, you know, like there's not a lot of emotion there, and you're kind of like, yo, she set these dudes up.
Well, yeah, it's in a three-way fight, right? Like at this point, the Galileo Company is fighting Luffy. Frankie also fighting Luffy. We get like Kuda.
I like how you say it's like a three-way fight, but it's literally seven or eight people on one guy.
Well, yeah, you know what I mean. But like you have Kuda Vent, which just obliterates the area. Like seeing that shot after he uses it, because like, you know, we don't see him use it the first time. Right, it cuts to them showing up, and it's like, oh, everything's destroyed. What the hell happened? And I think they leave that just as like a, oh, maybe it's because they were fighting, right? We know Luffy's destructive, and then you see that, and you're like, oh, my God. It's like, they're all so strong. Like, what the hell, man?
And, like, the whole time, he is, like, defending Robin, like, to the nth degree, right? He is, like, there isn't a doubt in his mind that Robin is, like, an innocent party who is just getting, like, slandered here.
Yep, like, literally will not believe it. He's like, until I talk to her. But Luffy always does that, right? He's very good about, like, giving people the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, maybe that bites him in the ass sometimes. But, you know, he does do that, right? He does give people a chance to, like, you know, tell me. Yeah. Did you actually do this? And then in typical Luffy fashion, he breaks into Iceberg's mansion. In broad daylight, while they think that they are the assassins. And I think he even did it by mistake, if I'm remembering correctly. I think he tried to make it to the roof.
It was... Oh, is that the very end when he actually busts through?
He's just rocketing and like emulating Kaku at this point, and just like he getting stuck everywhere. I mean, man's gets stuck in a wall in like a few chapters at some point, like for I don't even know how long. That way, it's part of the thing. We can jump around a little bit.
Yeah.
He
just kind of busts through the window. Yeah, right there. It is. He just like, but I will say, like, when it comes to all that, you know, because like Khalifa's the one where he busts through, and he's actually trying to, like you said, it's an accident. He's just trying to run away. He's not really trying to find Iceberg in this regard, I don't think. And like Khalifa's like, yo, Straw Hat, come with me. Like, and she takes him to Iceberg, right, and then covers for him. But like I don't know, one of my favorite things about the manga is like when it immediately takes me back to like kind of like the still images or like a very specific scene in the anime.
Yeah.
And it makes me happy that it carried over to like a one-to-one experience, right? Like like watching the anime is showing that like you didn't miss that experience by not reading the manga because it's like the same thing
it's
in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's all, I don't know, that's literally like to me probably one of the most satisfying things is like when I get to relive that moment again, and it feels just as good this time.
And I do like the little, like, we kind of get a little bit of a break, right? For a few pages where, you know, you're having the thing with Luffy, Khalifa, he has the conversation with Iceberg. He's like, I still don't believe it. They have that whole banter. And then we kind of get to see Frankie as, like, a person for the first time, right? Like, interacting with Kokoro and, like, just kind of talking with Bluno at the bar and... just kind of being a normal dude, right? Like, we kind of learn, oh, there might be something more to him. Like, what's going on? And then, you know, oh, shocker, it's the world government again.
Yeah.
You know?
And they're back.
Surprise.
a mission for justice.
And it's interesting, especially like, obviously, you know, we hindsight, and we'll get to it because the reveal comes up. Basically, the volume where we end pretty much ends during the reveal. But weirdly enough, looking at this panel where it's just the person's eyes,
you can tell who it is when you know
exactly who it was.
Yeah.
Instantly, which I never knew in the anime. It was just the second I saw them, I was like, oh my god, that is literally the same facial structure. Like, it was kind of weirdly enough, like, if you really inspected it, you probably could have figured it out, maybe, or at least guessed. Yeah. Which I thought was kind of cool.
If you guessed that, like, before you, like, actually knew, like, that's crazy. Your attention to detail is mental. Nuts. Yeah.
And then we obviously learn about the Aqua Laguna, and it's just like, I feel like we learn what it is, and then that's the moment where it's like, oh, shit, really about to break loose. And then it's immediately followed up with Robin, like, admitting to Sanji, like, fuck you, I'm out.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's, like, where they meet at the canal or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about, like, we've talked about with water. Like, it just continues to escalate, right? Like,
every chapter.
Like, everything keeps going up a level every single chapter, right? Like, now we got to run from everybody. But also, there's like, well, once a year storm going to come through and literally drown out like the first the half of the town. Island.
It's so it's going to drown out the town. Usopp was left with the boat that can't do nothing. The Straw Hats don't have a ship yet. The people they need in order to get a ship think they're murderers.
Yep.
So like, I don't know.
Everything is fucked. Like, Robin's working with the world government. I mean, like, literally everything is absolute chaos at this point.
And she even says, like, you know, it's like, I'm screwing you over, kind of, but also thank you for the kindness that you showed me. I didn't really deserve it.
Yeah.
I did want to ask, and I don't remember if it's ever covered, because I don't feel like it is. Is, like, the levels in Water 7, like, some sort of socioeconomic thing, like, where the rich people are, like, on the higher tier, where they're not really going to get bothered by the water all that much, so they don't have to rebuild?
I do think so.
That's when they have the parties, though, right?
Yeah. Is it genuinely?
I forget which part they said they had, like, the costume parties at.
That's a different town. Right? No, people were taking the sea train from Water 7 to
I thought that was from one of the other higher levels. They were just
passing through. No, I think it was just tourists.
I do love, because we're going to talk about that in the next episode, but I do love how, like, all the train travel was, like, hinted at without ever, like,
it's in the beginning,
making it a big deal, right? Like,
and you don't even think about it. You're like, oh, well, look, it's a train on the water. That's cool. Look at the frog fighting it. That's neat. And you don't really think about
the details of it.
So good. So good.
Mm-hmm. And then, dude, but that honestly,
I never thought
Usopp
about the different levels.
Yeah.
Because they even say, what about the different levels? Because they said that each of the different foremen. Iceberg
lives at the top. I know that. The mansion area is like the top, right? So I think it would make sense. I mean, let's be honest. In the world that One Piece is, it would not surprise me, because that has been done in multiple other locations. And
you got to think, like, Kaku, like, the shipwrights are, like, looked up upon so much.
Yeah.
Like, he literally has to jump towards the top all the way down to the bottom to go to the ship.
Yeah. Like, they are up there. Like, that's where they chill, I'm pretty sure.
So it's like, it definitely seems like the higher regard you are, the more money you make. Like,
it's kind of the higher up you be. Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, hey, like, you want to live in Water 7, but you don't got a lot of money. That's fine. Just once
Water
a year.
Zone 6.
Once a year, you got to fucking pack your shit up and go. Like,
you're about to
fun.
Get flooded.
Mm-hmm. But then, like, Usopp trying to buy the materials and, like, not even being able to carry them. And, like, the dude.
Ugh.
Bro, thank God that man. I love that man, because Usopp,
like nameless
that.
Person, yeah.
Right? Random dude. Like, I will never forget that guy. I might forget what he looks like. I will never forget that moment.
The kindness that he showed.
Yeah. Well, it's like, he didn't even do much, right? He just gave him some food, but it was just that little bit of kindness.
Well,
like, Usopp's abandoned. He's alone. Like, he's hurt.
Yeah.
He's literally on his own. And, like, that little bit of kindness, I feel like, is just so important. And it's, I don't know. I got emotional seeing him try to fix it.
Well, the next pages, it even shows, like, he even has, like, a moment of happiness, right? Like, like, he appreciates what the guy did. Like, he's even smiling and kind of, like, talking to Mary a little bit. Mm-hmm. Just, like, it's like, you know, in a sea of chaos, sometimes those moments of normalcy just, like, kind of let you recollect yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know, before everything starts popping off again. Also, I never noticed that Blue Nose Bar, like, it had the horns on the outside as well. Like, yeah. It's literally the same as his hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I did not even realize that.
And then, obviously, like, it then builds up, right? We get everybody's guarding the mansion. It's like, all right, what's going to happen here? Like, there's no way the Straw Hats can get involved. And then we, you know, all right, Iceberg is, it seems like him and Polly have a thing. What is he telling Polly? What's this safe? Oh, shit. The Masked Bear arrived. And like kind of like confirms yet again, like, yep, Robin's 100% involved. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Like, she is a part of this. There she is.
Yep.
And we get like all the masked people. And I have to say, I love the designs of all these masks. Like, these masks have been embedded in my brain.
Yeah.
So crazy.
And they're so good. This is still, I think, one of the best reveals in the series. Because I don't know about you guys, I did not see this coming.
There was like, I don't think there's one part of me that like ever suspected who it actually was underneath, because I just assumed it was going to be like, I thought it was going to be the introduction of like all new characters that were going to be
my
like
thought process, like CP9, right? It's going to be CP9. Yeah. Like, who is it?
Not, you know.
You know.
We also get the tease of the devil fruits, right? Like the bear who's with Robin using the door fruit. To kind of like open, and it's so subtle.
I still hold could possibly be one of the most OP devil fruits in all of One Piece.
Yeah, I mean, easy. I mean, dude, think about it. You walk up to you row up to the side of somebody's ship. You go in their ship. You're now on the bottom of their ship. Like,
yeah,
you could sink their ship by opening
make
a door,
open it, and just let the water in.
I mean, because he could make doors out of anything, though, right? Like, he can even like.
I believe like, as far as what they've explained, yeah.
It's the he could even make doors out of air, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Well, I mean, it's one of those things. Like, you can walk into a bank, you can.
It's
if
a wall.
You somehow get
to
Marie Joie, you know, you could cause a lot of trouble. Like, no matter.
He specifies walls, I believe. Where is it? He gives details.
He
has
to have his back against something.
He puts his back against it, and it allowed. He basically becomes the door. It's the power of the door fruit. However thick the wall, wherever I touch, it becomes a door. As long as there's a wall, I can get in and out of anything. That's what he says.
Okay, so it does require a wall then. Interesting. Yeah, literally is the most broken fruit. But yet he's working for the government.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Which is also kind of interesting, because in this arc, a lot of this... Maybe that's the next video. We'll discuss that.
Never mind. Spoiler talk too at the end. Too.
Yeah. I was going to talk about the government and their behavior in this arc, but I think that's more of next video.
Probably.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's more of next video, because I don't think we had very much government stuff happen this one.
Yeah, because after the reveal, it was
basically the end.
The end. Yeah, like that was
that's next. Okay, we'll get into that next time.
But it is kind of terrifying, right? Because we've already seen these super strong people, right? We know the level they're at. Well, now we got a dude who can turn doors. Now we have the bear guy who, Tilestone, the biggest motherfucker there.
Dude, that guy is messed.
Smashes his hammer. The guy just destroys it and shouts Iron Body. And you're like, oh my God. He takes him down in one hit. And then from there, you're like, he's down, you look. Lucci's on the ground bleeding. Kaku's up against the wall bleeding. Like, all three of them have now been defeated, right? Like, these strong people on a level that we have not seen before have now been taken down by these masked intruders almost instantaneously. And it's just unheard of, right? And you know, we learn about, like, the weapons that Iceberg knew more than he let on, how destructive they are. We still don't know anything about it. And then it kind of goes to the swap, which leads up to bum bum bum.
The big reveal.
No, not yet. Luffy smashes through a wall. Because he was stuck the whole time, and he shows up and immediately gets caught by one of the masked guys with Paul.
Dude, it.
Yep.
That's right. Yeah, they get stapled to the floor.
Yeah, it's literally like two pages before, and then literally the next panel, dude, or the next page is Woo-hoo! Landing on the shoulder. And
how would that have been set up even better than like literally the bird flying in?
Like
and
before they
on
even take
shoulder.
Off the mask. And I think that was my favorite part is they're just like, you see the bird and you're like, oh yeah,
well, that
I guess, like,
thing, really.
What's
yeah.
going on? Bruh.
Mm-hmm.
I just, and it's like, you see him, you know, you see a few of them come off and it's like, okay. And then it's like, oh my God, the secretary too? And then it's like, yeah. the motherfucker at the bar? Like, what do you mean? Like, even that little moment with Frankie that you think the focus is Frankie, but really it's Oda being like, oh, nah, he and on
he's literally
too, bitch.
Setting up that character, dude.
God.
It like, talking about, like, putting yourself into a community so well that, like, you just don't even, like, I didn't even think. And I think that's, like, credited to, like, One Piece has so many crazy characters
mm-hmm.
that you think like a monstrous dude behind a bar is just normal. Like
yeah.
it doesn't occur to you that like this man might be a government agent or anything. He could just be a big ass dude behind a bar.
Well, I mean, the hinting with Granny Kokoro in the beginning where she's literally talking about CP9 and he's at the bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, oh, that's crazy.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy. Man, wow. And she's like going in on these conspiracy theories. Like, man, that's just crazy. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, when that hit, I was just like, oh, my God, Granny Kokoro, you don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
Lady, you've been drinking with the man the whole time.
Yep. And then I love how, like, we get all this, right? You know, we've gone through, I don't even know how much information up until this point. Like three volumes into the arc, right? We just got a massive reveal drop, right? There's a weapon. Yep. The world government's involved. Usopp gone. Robin on the rocks. And then it's just like, so the architects, let's see here. We have you, Tom, Cutty Flam. And then you're like, oh, who the fuck Cutty Flam?
Who the hell's Cutty Flam?
Who the hell this? This is a third motherfucker. What's going on? And then it's just Frankie.
Yeah,
bum,
we know
bum,
who it is.
Bum. And it's just like, oh my God, what do you mean? Like, they pulled like a double reveal, man. Like, back to back chapters.
When Oda just starts dropping, he just drops.
Yeah, that is the point, right? He'll spend all this time setting it up. And he just, I don't know how he does it. But God, these
clip-hangers. He made the whole song a bass drop. It's like, I don't even know how he did it, but it works.
I know. And then literally, like, the end is Luffy busting through the wall, right? Like, escape. And not, but here's the thing. It's hard to see because it's in the background. It's not just Luffy. Luffy and Zoro bust through different walls at the exact same time. And
that's,
it's just
that's,
like.
That's why he's the number two.
Oh, the boys.
Chopper and you know, Nami behind him, too. But, you know. And I just, God. I love the thing. Luffy, meddlers. I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for these meddling kids.
Like, dude, it's like I love how like there seems to be like almost Scooby-Doo-esque references just because.
Why not? You have to have it. I mean, come on. But that was the first half of Water 7. We thought that was kind of a good point to stop the end of Volume 36. You know, which is chapter. Let's see here. I can find it. Chapter 346. So that's kind of the first half. Now, if you don't know, you're new here. I'm going to fill you in so you're not confused. You don't get spoiled and nothing happens. Okay. We are splitting the arc up. So the next episode will be the second half of Water 7. However, we are going to go into a little bit of a spoilery discussion. Now, no worries. Boom just started Whole Cake Island. So you don't have to worry about anything beyond that. We won't talk about anything beyond Whole Cake. So you don't have to worry about that. If you're caught up or you're past Whole Cake, you're good to go. Even if you're in the beginning, you're pretty much safe to stay for the spoilers. Although I don't think many of our spoilers are going to go past the next couple arcs. So stick around if you want that. If not, Water 7, the next part, will be going until chapter 374. So from where we left off today to 374, it's about another 30 chapters or so. You know, come stick around.
Could be volumes 37, 38, 39.
That sounds about right.
I think there was a couple chapters in 39.
Yeah. And then we'll be moving on to that, which I cannot wait because
so much.
It starts popping on. I mean, it was already been crazy. You know what I mean? This has already been an absolutely insane arc, but it's so fucking good. Go check out our stuff. Remember, Boom has been reacting to One Piece on his personal channel since episode one. I have been doing the same thing, and we're trying to bully Sione into watching more One Piece so that he can make his way through Whole Cake Island. So, you know, harass him.
Slowly but steadily. Do the thing. Harass me in the comments.
What,
do it.
Tell what do you think if Sione reacted to One Piece and we put it on Nani? No.
That'd be a good, that'd be a good question.
Tell us in the comments. That
would be a good question. Or a good point.
Yeah, also, let us know.
If you want the full video, it's on Spotify.
Bam!
If you want the entire thing, go check it out on Spotify. That being said, it's time for spoiler discussion. So 3, 2, 1, you better mute because I'm about to shout. You know, Bluno can open doors with the air, but that is Enies Lobby. That is like end of Enies Lobby, which is why I kind of just brushed off what you said. And we're like,
yeah,
no.
That was bad. I was literally trying
to think that. I was like, but.
Yeah, literally, that's why I said that. And I was like, wait a second, fuck.
Yeah.
I was like, but I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it's when he's fighting Luffy. Like, it's we learned that there's a little bit more to Bluno's fruit. But holy crap, man. Like, can I just say, whole new world. Completely different perspective reading this arc, knowing who they are. Because holy shit, it has been a ride.
Mm-hmm. Can we discuss Pluton?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I found it interesting because in Alabasta, right, Crocodile was after Pluton, but the world government wasn't involved.
They didn't know
they didn't know it was there, but they weren't involved. They weren't trying to find it at that point in time, right?
Well, yeah, they didn't, but that's the thing, is it was a secret. I don't know how Crocodile found out that it was there. But as far as the world government knows, that Poneglyph does not exist on.
But the CP9 has been in Water 7 for 5 years.
Something like that, yeah.
So that means that they would have already known about Pluton then.
No, yes. I mean, I think
prior to Crocodile, they
are aware of Pluton's existence, but nobody knows where the stuff for it is. Does that make sense? Like, nobody knows the details behind it because of the Void Century.
I think they know all of the ancient weapons exist. I only know of two right now. And that would be, what would that be?
Pluton's one.
But since it is spoiler, Shirahoshi.
Spoiler talk. Full good. You're good.
That would be, so that's the two I know. Mm-hmm. Is Pluton and what? It's the god of water, Poseidon. Is it Poseidon?
I think that's what it is.
What's there's like another god of water. I don't know if it's them or not. Anyway,
that's the problem.
Yeah, those are the two I know.
I will say it'll be nice once I am caught up, because when you guys have questions about that, I'll be safe to Google it and I can confirm things.
Right.
Right. I can be like, hold on, let me double check.
From what I understand, you got to think, and this is me. This is pure conjecture. Like, this is me not knowing. I mean, I'm assuming that the world government knows what happens in the blank century.
And I think so, that. Right?
And I'm assuming they're the cause of it. Like,
the people in the top dogs, right? The people
in
charge
like,
of the
so
world
I assume, like, all the elders and stuff like that know. Like, I assume everybody.
That's a past a certain level.
Yeah, like, and probably, like, Celestial Dragon. Like, I assume they know all.
I could see that.
So
I don't think,
you know,
like the Marines do.
And I think that's what makes them so powerful.
Yeah. Like, I don't think that like a Kainu or Kizaru or any of them know. I don't think they do. But I do believe
that kind of thing is admiral level. No. Like, or vice admiral level.
That is definitely like world government status.
Yeah. That's why I was like, I think like elders and celestial dragons and all that, I think they know that stuff. But like, I don't think.
God,
damn it,
I can
see the look in your face so hard. But
it's because like it's like. There's so much stuff I want to talk to you guys about the world government. Right.
Do we know how long? Okay, so it is 24 years.
24 years? What about it?
I was trying to figure out. I don't even know if that's correct. I was trying to figure out how long. I don't even know if they've even told us this. How long Goldie Roger has been dead prior to the start of One Piece?
22 years.
Prior to the start of the journey. 22?
22.
Okay, so.
Sure,
I just 20. Find it so interesting because like this is like the
20?
First time.
I think 22 is post time skip because 20
is it?
Yeah,
okay,
2 years. I'm pretty sure.
So it'd be 15 years then that they sent CP9 to go find Pluton then after he passed away. Like
everything that I know of has yet to connect Goldie. Well, would connect is once again Poseidon, because I swear, didn't they say in Fishman that, like Luffy, Goldie could also hear like the sea monsters communicate sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I like that's the only connection I've ever seen to like an ancient weapon that I like that I know of. As far as I know, Gold D just seems like dude was just a badass pirate.
The feeling that I got, which I mean might be better for next episode, but I'm just gonna say it anyways. Sure. It felt like Gold D was a mafia boss and the world government came in as another mafia boss and is wiping out everyone who is ever connected to Gold D. Like, think about how like two rival mafias happen. They wipe out the other family. They don't wipe out the boss as well, right? They hit the boss and the rest of the families all at once. We've watched a lot of Peaky Blinders lately. Okay, don't hate on me. But like when you take out someone, you don't just take out the head. You take out
courtesy of the celestial dragons.
All the legs too. So it's like it makes me wonder. It's like,
so I would see what you're saying, trying to connect it to Gold D, if it wasn't for like the other 900 years that existed.
Yeah, because like Pluton is not a 20-year-old weapon. It's like 800, 900 years old.
Well, no,
like,
I mean, for the weapons,
that's what I'm saying, like, because the Don Quixote family formed more or less like the world government or whatever.
Well, think about it this way, right? Like, this is something I can discuss because you guys are far enough up. Like, we know that the Poneglyphs are linked to the Void Century. We know that the Poneglyphs are linked to the weapons. We know that in order to get to Raftel, you need all of the Poneglyphs.
Yeah.
So it's safe to assume that somebody that has access to Poneglyphs that makes it to Raftel would then know all the history, what happened in the Void Century, what happened there, Now, we don't know how, right? We know the One Piece is real. We know Oda has confirmed that the One Piece is not going to be a friend you made along the way. He's explicitly said that it is an item. What that item is, I fucking who knows, but
piece of chicken.
You would assume that means that not only is that there's either an item that gives you knowledge, right?
It's a vegetable. And
maybe
Luffy
it's
turns
just
it
a
down.
Poneglyph. I don't know. Or it's, you know, there's more on that island than just piece, you know, there's something else there, but,
or the island is the One Piece. I've had that thought.
I don't think so based on what he said, but maybe. I mean, I guess an island can be an item, right? So
yeah,
true. Yeah,
in a way, land.
It's been an interesting spoiler discussion.
I stand by this, and I'm gonna say this, Sione, whether you catch up or not, whenever Boom gets caught up, bro, me and Boom might do One Piece Manga Bros 2.0 where we read weekly every week, because I'm telling you right fucking now, man, I could talk to you guys for the next 5 hours about just what I have experienced in Wano, and I still have 70, 80 episodes to catch up to the anime, and the anime is not caught up to the end of the arc. I could literally talk to you guys about Wano. I could add context to almost everything we have discussed in this entire fucking podcast.
Well, I mean, literally, the bomb drop connected. In the bomb drop in Zoe is because like a bless him, like I couldn't talk about it because we did Skype you with Alonzi, and like, you know, there was the Poneglyph where like somebody had wrote on it, and I was like, that was Odin. It had to be him, right? Like it had to be him. I can imagine, like, the more I'm getting into it, the more you realize like these conversations get so different. Like
I stand by that. You could maybe it's not because we're in a weird spot, right? Where you know, I mean, here's a perfect example. What episode of Whole Cake are you on? Have you hit the 800s yet?
No, I'm okay, like 795.
Never mind then. The point is that I'm getting at is that with you guys being in almost the 800s or in the 800s, you know, Sione, and then obviously, like, you know, you have about 200 or so to get to caught up, right? I do legitimately feel like almost every arc, if you were to go back and reread One Piece, you would get something else each time.
Yeah.
Are arcs that we have that we have gone through months ago that you are going to be either A, going back and reading it when you are done with Whole Cake, or you are going to be like,
well,
oh my God.
Well, I know you said like something feeds back into Baratie.
Yes.
Yep. And now that I'm in Whole Cake and like everything is literally about Sanji's family, like I can only imagine probably what's going to come from all of that, right? Like it's...
And there's more and more point. And more and more, right? Like, the thing is that, like...
I just understood why they called it that. Oh, my God!
What, Whole Cake?
Yeah, why is Skull Whole Cake?
You just realized that?
The theme. Yes. Okay. Shh. Leave me alone. Okay. I want to talk, but I'm afraid to say anything.
I know you and Boomer are in a weird spot where you guys are both in Whole Cake, but you're so close, but yet so far, and it's such an integral arc that like one wrong misunderstanding of where you guys are could cause a.
I don't want
to
say anything.
So my theory of Whole Cake is that she has all those islands to form the ingredients that she wants for when she goes crazy for a craving. And then they can just like take over that island and like get like the ingredients to make whatever it is she wants.
Okay. Because
like I'm literally just past the part where she's like going crazy for some croquembouche.
Croquembouche!
And like, yeah, what's funny is like I looked it up and I was like, yo, this is like a dessert that they like serve at weddings. Like, what the hell? I was like, oh yeah, never mind. I was like, it's gonna be a wedding. Like this lady got wedding fever right now. Like, yeah. Bro, she
scares me.
If they don't introduce the bad guys with like a Disney-esque song now, like it's just gonna be disappointing.
It is super good, dude.
Them eerie flowers.
It really is. But yes, come read, watch more. Come meet me in Wano, please. I need someone to talk to about this.
Dude, I didn't realize Whole Cake was such a big arc though. Isn't it like 90 some episodes like Dressrosa is?
Yeah, it's long. It's shorter than Dressrosa, but not by much.
Not by a lot.
But I do still think like, and I'm sure you're feeling it now after Zoe, like Zoe was the point where like I got to a point in Zoe and I was like, I gotta finish.
Yeah.
And then it didn't, and then I slowed it down a little bit when I realized that I wouldn't be able to catch up in time to watch Film Red in theaters.
Film Red, yeah.
Once I found out that it wasn't just anime, that there was manga spoilers, and I was like, all right, never mind. And then now I'm at that point where I'm like...
Yeah.
I'm at the point where we are so close to the baby being here that I am afraid... to watch because I'm worried that she will go into labor mid-episode and I will have to stop mid-episode because the episodes are that fucking crazy.
I'd be like, you're going to have to tell her to wait. Like, I got to finish this real quick.
Hit the pause button, please.
I just hit skip intro on the song.
Hey, hold those contractions. Give me a sec. I got to finish this episode.
I'd be like, how far apart are they? Hey, you got time.
Yeah.
Like, three contractions, I'll be done.
Real well. But yeah, it's I know we're not talking Water 7 spoilers because like there's not like a ton yet, I feel like, to connect like where we are versus like what like we can form theories or anything like outside of like talking about like the weapons and stuff like that. I'm assuming those are going to have to come into play in game wise, though. Like there's he doesn't tease shit like this without it actually happening. So. Yeah.
This is the second arc that's basically had it around it too, where they've discussed it.
I mean, it's not just the second. I mean, up until this point, yeah. But I mean, they really hammer it home, right? Like, I mean, you get to post time skip, and that's the craziest part to me is that there's so many people that are like, "Oh, post time skip, like One Piece isn't as good, whatever, whatever." And I still will never understand that. I mean, don't get me wrong; it is very hard to come back from Water 7, Enies Lobby. Post Enies Lobby, Amazon Lily, Impel Down, Marine Ford, post war arc. Like, that's a lot. Then you have the time skip moment and then it goes into it. But, like, especially now, dude, like, where I'm at, I feel like the further you get in the series, the more important arcs become and the more, like, arcs that you thought maybe weren't as important become relevant and become super important. And that happens to such a degree that it's just like, I mean, it's like looking back, if you don't count the post time skip flex and how much stronger they got, right?
Sure.
We learn about Poseidon. We learn about another Poneglyph. We learn more about like Roger and Odin and all those secrets about who are these people. Luffy challenges Big Mom. We meet Big Mom's crew. I mean, like so much happens in that moment, right? Not to mention like other stuff that happens later involving like Shirahoshi and like other shit like that and like the fishmen and whatever. You get the fucking Jinbei moment at the end of the arc. Yep. You go to Punk Hazard, right? And like, let's just start with this right now, that Punk Hazard is the leftover between a fight between Aokiji and Akainu. Like that alone, that I feel like is something people gloss over. Law the Warlord, Law showing up again, like Caesar, Smiles.
Caesar.
Doflamingo even shows up in that arc. Aokiji shows up, leaves the world government, like flexes on Doflamingo. I mean, that's just Punk Hazard. Yeah. Not to mention Dressrosa, not to mention Doflamingo, not to mention the links to Kaido, Kaido jumping off a fucking thing, everything that happens in Zoe, and then not to fucking get into Whole Cake and Wano. I mean, the post time skip is fucking crazy.
Yeah. Well, that and like, yeah, then you get to Whole Cake and there's the Big Mom, or where I'm at, you know, Big Mom introduction, like Sanji's family, and just, you know, like, it don't get me wrong, like, there is something incredibly special about pre-time skip One Piece.
Yeah, it is like that, a nostalgia, like, that, weirdly enough.
Yeah, it's very, very tough to beat, because to an extent, that is the fun pirate adventure.
Yeah,
but it is no longer
a fun pirate adventure.
Yeah,
it has its moments, but after time skip, it is very much serious.
I even say like here and there where it's like a lot of the humor that was in pre-time skip, it just isn't there post-time skip, because it doesn't really have a place. He starts kind of sneaking it in a little more around Punk Hazard and stuff like that, with like the little gags here and there. But like, it's just a different story, and whether you decide like to take that ride or not, like, you know, some people probably did fall off, like, and it's understandable, like, if that's not for you,
if
it's
you're
not
looking
right,
but... for a super serious time, which I mean, I still feel like it was super serious pre-time skip, but I see what you mean. After Ace's death, it is no longer the same series. Like, Luffy's no longer the same person.
I would still say after Mary.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, because that's like a massive turning point. The innocence of the show went down with Mary. Because that's when like Impel Down and Marine Ford and all that happened. So
I still am blown away at how much I looked at Mary as the crew and like cared about Mary in comparison to Sunny. I love the ship design. I do not feel, I know we've talked about this before, but we do not feel the attachment.
It's not the same ship.
It's not even the same ship, but like, I just feel like I don't have the attachment that I did, even though I've been with Sunny for more episodes than I was with Mary. And I don't know if it is that like innocence of when it arrived, but like, I've seen the Mary get pretty fucked up since, or Sunny. And like, and not at any point have I been like, oh no. You know what I mean? Like,
we've talked about it before. Like, I'm just like, like I said, it's the Mary not being able to defend itself the way the Sunny can. Like, the Sunny literally has
everything,
its own like waver in it, a submarine and cannons, and Coup is able burst, to fly away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mary didn't have that. Mary was like, I'm in it for the ride, dog. Let's go.
Let's go, baby.
So you're just not as worried, because it's just not, there's
things the Sunny can do that the Mary couldn't even like attempt, bro.
God, dude,
dying. Yeah, I can see you wanting to talk, but it's like you don't know how to say it.
It's
without.
Yeah, I mean, it's that, but it's also like I'm just kind of going through the process of like everything that's coming up. Like, it's been such a weird experience. Like, I was thinking about it the other day, right? Like, we're 300 something chapters in already. Like, have you thought about that, like, by any chance? I know we're watching it, but like, we're already a third of the way through the series
I reached a point where I think I hit like chapter, was it 360? And I'm like, I'm like a third of the way through this now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. It's crazy, because it's like,
you
don't realize how big it is until like going back, and it's like there's so much. Like, some of my favorite characters, like, I look at my shelf and I look at the figures. I'm like, damn, I don't have so and so. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Oh my God. But there's so many. I love this fucking show. And manga. The manga is so good. The manga has been so good,
I'm genuinely curious. Like, once we get caught up, like, I think we, because for those that don't know, and you know, since this is mostly just going to be on Spotify, like, once we're all caught up to the anime, I think most of us are actually going to start reading to catch up to the manga from where the anime leaves off.
Yeah, that's my
goal. And so, like, I think like we have the idea of doing like the weekly like chapter review.
Yeah, I'm down because like I'm gonna yeah. obviously be like reading it and doing my reactions.
Yeah,
for
yeah,
my
reacting
videos,
to
like
it for our own channels.
I think it'll
like...
be fun and like a nice change of pace to get to the point where yeah, I just had my experience and I vocalized it and I gave my raw input, my raw thoughts. Okay,
right.
Let's get together, talk to the boys about what the fuck they got, what's their theories, and because at that point the theory crafting begins, baby.
Oh, dude,
the theory crafting
I'm
begins.
Also thinking,
I can't
like,
even discuss. You all said some theories I couldn't even give input on today. Like, because I know the answer.
Right. Like, interesting. But no, it makes me wonder, too, like, if people would be interested in, like, a possible, like, weekly, like anime recap with it as well. Like, mm-hmm. kind of, like, going from there. But I guess, like, if we're ahead in the manga, like, that would make that a moot point a little bit.
It'd be hard to,
Yeah, it'd be hard to like, compare. Try to, like, formulate
maybe
that, like,
a total
go through
arc
it.
Discussion, like, an arc review, maybe.
Yeah.
Of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. I don't know. Do y'all have any other things you like to discuss, spoilery wise or otherwise?
About it for this episode.
I'm good, man.
I'm tapped.
Like, that's yeah.
Strap
so
in.
Much.
That was
so
just
much
the
in
first
these
half.
Chapters. Yeah,
we got way more to come. Water 7 coming. We got a fun guest coming for Annie's Lobby. I'm not gonna tell
Ooh-wee.
You who it is. It's gonna be a secret. Yeah. Y'all gonna like it. Thanks for watching,
mm-hmm.
and we'll see you.
Enjoy.
Bye.
In Wano. Hopefully.
Eventually.
One day.
Just fucking Rochmort, goddammit.